Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we're very pleased to welcome Rebecca Grant, Vice President of the Lexington Institute. Rebecca, the headline that needs interpretation, Fort Drum shows how states can push back on China's maritime aggression, concentrating on the South China Sea in something called maritime outposts. Please translate for us. Thank you.
Because the South China Sea, as we know, is one of the most highly contested regions in the world, as the article points out. And the problem is China uses a gray zone strategy. That's everything from harassment with their so-called coast guard to building up little fortified reefs. And it's not big enough to launch major forces, but it's a long-term problem of how to push back against China and then how to put together a network of defenses and sensor fusion to complicate China's tactical problem and allow the Philippines or other allies to impose costs rapidly on any aggressive moves by China.
This points to an historical fact of Fort Drum at the entrance of Manila Harbor more than a century ago, where the U.S. and its allies built a non-sinkable battleship with 14-inch guns, making it a hard target, Manila Bay. That was true for the bulk of the time that it existed, but it was not true in 1941, the pitiful, because there a change in tactics by the Japanese. But in any event, a hard target is a start. Gordon, you have a comment or question about Back to the Future.
Back to the Future. Now, Fort Drum guards the mouth to Manila Bay. This is important because 124 nautical miles away is Scarborough Shoal, which the Chinese effectively seized in 2012. It's clearly part of the Philippines. China's legal entitlement to it was invalidated by the 2016 arbitration in The Hague. So the question for Rebecca will be, these outposts seem to be much more important these days. What can the United States, what can the Philippines do at Fort Drum to counter China at Scarborough?
Well, China is in the wrong. And Fort Drum, call it a hard target or call it a node in the enhanced resilience. You know, so what you need is a lot of locations like Fort Drum where you can combine sensors, shooters, the ability to launch drones, personnel that can repair and use logistics, and all of that, put that together, and you've got a web that allows the U.S. and allies to use smaller levels of force to really get after China and to deny them the ability to maneuver in that area. Now, you also need platforms that connect these nodes together, like the Army, which has just speeded up its new MV-75 tilt rotor. It's an assault aircraft. They're going to have it in a couple years. And you can imagine that going from node to node, delivering logistics, resupply, and even taking an offensive role. So if China's going to take little nodes around this disputed area that they don't belong in, then the U.S. and allies need to also have those smaller, agile nodes that they can leap into and out of as part of the gray zone strategy. It's kind of like a network. Think of it as a network.
Your familiarity with the Navy I call upon. Is this something being discussed by CNO, present or past?
Oh, they're very much focused on China in the gray zone, not only the Navy, but the Marine Corps as well. We keep a pretty strong naval presence in that area. And as the Navy moves into using more unmanned surface vehicles, more aerial drones as well, and of course, all the underwater vehicles, then bring on the Marine Corps, which has said that its strategy now is to operate off these small terrain features when necessary and use ship-to-shore connectors. reactors and everything, helicopters, everything that they need to be able to operate, maneuver, and use maneuver in fires in this area. So that goes for both the Navy and the Marine Corps.
You have a question for Rebecca Gordon.
Rebecca, your last comment shadowed my question, which is basically the U.S. Army and the Marine Corps now look pretty much alike in a fight in the South China Sea, because what you have are either soldiers or Marines stationed on these small islands and islets, essentially blocking China's access to waterways. Do you think that we're going to see basically a merger of Army and Marine and Army doctrine in the South China Sea?
Yes, to some extent, because they're both counting on not just being defensive, but on being able to jump ahead. If they see China looking into an area, the Army and Marines both want to be able to jump in, put some forces there, small forces, you know, again, like using the MB-75 or using assault helicopters to go ahead and resupply so that that will deter China from its gray zone operations. It's really a different way to think of conflict, but it's essential to have not only these outposts, but the flexible platforms that move between them. And of course, a lot of missiles and a good share of air power to control that domain as well.
Rebecca, the incident that we highlighted recently where a Japanese destroyer took off the bow of a Coast Guard, Chinese destroyer took off the bow of a Chinese Coast Guard vessel, points out to me that this is not a first-rate Navy, that it was conducting an offensive operation knowing the whole world was watching, and it failed at a point where you'd say readiness does not exist. Is that something that you've heard talked about? Are we keep building up the PLA Navy as if it was the British Navy 1914?
Our U.S. Navy definitely got a laugh out of that poor seamanship by the Chinese. But, John, here's the problem. They're trying to build up. And the more that they conduct operations, become experienced, get better at ship handling, both their Navy and their Air Force are pretty reckless right now because they're trying to gain that operational experience. Remember, fortunately, they have no direct combat experience. But the worrying signal here is that China is more aggressive. They're allowing their commanders to act this way, and they want to be able to conduct more complex operations further from China, and that's bad news.
Gordon, you have a question. We have about a minute.
Yeah, the August 11th incident that John talked about was between the Navy and the Coast Guard of China. That's a problem of coordination. Is coordination among, for instance, the Chinese Air Force and Navy better than the coordination between the Navy and the Coast Guard?
Coordination is everything in combined operations, and I think coordination is still a big weak point for China. That's where their lack of combat experience really comes in. They also have a pretty complicated command structure, and it just takes a lot of practice to get good not just at maneuvering two ships, but at then combining the air and land and sea elements. We have a lot of joint force colleges, and we send our officers on joint tours to learn how to do this. China's pretty far behind. But again, the worrying sign is that they're trying to do more of this coordination with their big air packages that they fly against Taiwan and with these reckless naval maneuvers as well.
Rebecca, 30 seconds. What's the scuttlebutt? What's the gossip? Are these guys laughed at by USN?
They are now because our U.S. Navy is so, you know, our carriers are better. Ours are nuclear powered. Theirs aren't. We are better at the submarine domain. But beyond this, everybody knows China really is the threat. And they are determined to develop into a major maritime power. They're starting to operate their carriers further from the shore. And this is why we need to keep our advantage with our aircraft carriers, with our new FAXX. All the platforms we have now, if we invest, we can still stay ahead of China. And that's what we need to do.
Rebecca Grant of the Lexington Institute, Gordon Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.